Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome to the Viking Age podcast. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for thevikingage.com. And as always, I'm joined by Chris Shad, who writes for us here at the Viking Age, as well as Bring Me the News and Zone coverage. Before we start today's show, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel and like the video. And if you already did, greatly appreciate you. And also make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. All right, Chris, today is October 6th, 2022. It is my wife and I's wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
So shout out to us. But it is also a significant date in Vikings history. Are you aware of the Vikings related event that took place on October 6th, 2005?
Oh, that was it was the Love Boat.
It was. You got it. Are you off the top of your head? Do you know how many Vikings players participated in these festivities?
I know the big ones: Fred Smoot, Bryant McKinney, Dante Culpepper.
Yeah, I got the list.
12?
17.
17. Okay. Yeah. Who was the guy that was like, "No, I wasn't on the boat. I'm married." Like, who was that guy?
Ooh, like, I don't remember that. I don't remember off the top of my head, but there was, let's see, I got the list right here. Dante Culpepper, Fred Smoot, Mwelde Moore, Pat Williams, Bryant McKinney, Nate Burleson. You wouldn't think right now, Mr. CBS host, CBS Good Morning or whatever he's called.
He Did they run boat. A segment on it or what?
Ralph Brown, Jermaine Wiggins, Troy Williamson. He might actually caught something on this boat. Travis Taylor, Kevin Williams, Lance Johnstone, Mo Williams, and Willie Offered. Yes, they were on a boat. There were misdemeanors charged or whatever to four people. No suspensions for anybody on the Vikings. I think Ziggy Wolf came out and said, like, this is never going to be tolerated again. I'm like, well, again, why was it tolerated in the first place?
You realize people have worse bachelor parties though, right? Like, I mean, there was a lot of things that went on that boat.
Yeah.
Want to Google.
They weren't shy. They weren't shy about it. Yeah, no. Especially not Fred. No. Fred Smoot. He's never been shy about whatever happened on the boat.
And the only thing that was illegal, I believe the misdemeanors were noise complaints. So I'm not condoning it. But I mean, the whole thing was overblown because, like, If you watch, there's a Barstool Sports documentary on it. And like Ziggy Wolf, I guess, had like veins popping out of his neck and stuff. And it's like, yeah, I mean, looking back on it now, it's just hilarious. Like, of course they went on a boat. Of course they had strippers. Of course they had. Mm-hmm. Sorry if you're listening to this with your kids in the car. I believe Luke Braun referred to them as ballerinas. In his
They're documentary. Dancers.
They were dancers. Yes. Just different type of ballet.
Not sure how much dancing was going on that day. But yes, a significant date in Vikings history. Good to know that it also falls on my wife and I's wedding anniversary. So it's an easy way to remember that. I'm always like, oh, yes, of course I forgot. All right. Before we talk about the Vikings, I kind of wanted to take a little look back at the NFL in general, because we talked about the Vikings first quarter of the season last episode. And I kind of just want to look at the NFL in general, mostly because I really just don't want to talk about the Bears because they're just really boring. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the NFL. So looking at the first four games, just the first month of the NFL season, looking specifically at the NFC, which team maybe has surprised you the most, good or bad, after the first 4 weeks?
This is going to be kind of an easy answer because I believe they're the only undefeated team in the NFL right now, the Philadelphia Eagles. They won in a hurricane last week, or at least the remnants of one. You know, Jalen Hurts has looked a lot better. That offense is really rolling right now. That defense looks pretty nice, and it shows what you can do when you have a quarterback on their rookie deal on your roster, especially when you find the right one, unlike some of the other teams that have swung and missed in the NFC North over the last couple of years. I think the Eagles, I expected them to be a legit team this year. I didn't think they would be this dominant early on, and there's still a lot of season to go. But I guess if you were to give me an NFL surprise team, I would pick the Eagles.
I agree. I would have picked the Eagles. I feel like that's an answer that probably most people would give. But I'm going to go out a little bit out the box and go with the Seahawks, because they're 2-2 right now, and I don't think people thought they would be 2-2. I feel like a lot of people thought they would be 1-3 or 0-4. Like, a lot of people expected them to be at the bottom of the whole entire NFL, and they're kind of hanging around. They play hard every week. I don't think they've been blown out at all. They played the Niners, and I think that was probably their worst game. 27-7. So I guess that's kind of a blowout in today's NFL. But they beat the Broncos, who don't look that great anyways. They lost to the Niners. They lost by 4 to the Falcons, which is, the Falcons are kind of feisty too. And then they just beat the Lions. They just put 48 points up on the Lions. And I just think they're surprising in a way that I just don't think a lot of people thought they were going to do much of anything, especially Geno Smith. And Geno Smith is like one of the most efficient, like, look at all like the PFF stuff and EPA stuff. He's up, like, way up there as far as quarterbacks go this first month of the season. Can he keep it up? That's a big question. But and Rashad Penny's been playing really well too. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. Like, I'm kind of glad the Vikings don't have to play the Seahawks this year, because I feel like that would be a tough matchup. But looking at the AFC, who's your surprise team from over there, good or bad?
I think you mentioned them. It's the Broncos. They just look like a mess right now. Yeah. Nathaniel Hackett, I thought he was a great hire, but he just turns out to be all lip service. Just like, hey, how's it going? Everything's really happy and really positive and everything else. And like, we're all going to do great. And like, their offense is just, oh my God, bad. And people are like, well, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he was with Aaron. Okay. He was with Blake Bortles too. He had another couple of stops. I think Bortles, that was what, the 2017 season where they went to the AFC championship game. He's gotten success out of mediocre quarterbacks before. You give him a quarterback like Russell Wilson, it should work. There's weapons there. Jerry Jeudy's a good receiver. Cortland Sutton is a good receiver. They lost Tim Patrick, but now they've lost Javonte Williams. They're 2-2, and that division is no joke. Ask the Raiders right now. So I think the Broncos are my surprise team right now in the AFC, and not for a good reason.
Yeah, it could be a thing where maybe the first month is kind of rough, and they get things going maybe like in October or November. But so far, it doesn't look good, especially just based on Hackett's coaching, like his decisions. Like, that first game was just, I still can't believe some of the decisions he made in that first game. my dad's texting me right now because he's watching, and he's a Broncos fan. So he's really happy with your selection. But I agree. Like, they're supposed to be, like, Russell Wilson's supposed to be this plug and play guy. Like, they're going to be one of the top contending teams.
He's been eating too much danger witches or whatever he's called.
Oh, God, yeah.
Did you see the ingredients on that thing, by the way? He's talking about how spicy it is, and, like, there's just banana peppers on it. Those aren't spicy. Like, maybe heartburn. Maybe they give you heartburn a couple, hours down the road. But, I mean,
so dangerous. I've seen
put some jalapenos and chipotle sauce on that bad boy. Let's get
dangerous. Like, one of the Barstool people or whatever made like a spoof of the Russell Wilson video and made it into like a thriller.
And Dark Knight.
Yes.
I want to see how I got these sandwiches. I just want to see your smile.
So good. But yeah, like, now they got to pay. They gave Russell Wilson, what they give him, like $245 million. Now they got to give that to him.
Hey, at least they didn't give Deshaun Watson $245 million. True. I guess they can at least justify Russell Wilson a little bit.
But they might have tried, but They can say that they did not do that. I'm going to go with the Colts. I kind of thought something similar would happen with, you know, putting Matt Ryan in there. He's experienced. He was putting up kind of good numbers over with the Falcons, and they weren't that great. I think we're kind of figuring out why they weren't that great. And it had a bunch to do with Matt Ryan, because we just looked at Carson Wentz from like, oh, he's not that good. And look at the Colts did with Carson Wentz. They almost made the playoffs. He put up some great numbers. Just put Matt Ryan in with Frank Reich, and it's a secret sauce, and they're not good. Like, they probably should be 0-3 or 0-4. I don't know how they beat the Chiefs, but they did. But yeah, the Colts,
I think they're overrated. I think Frank Reich's overrated.
Yeah.
I mean, the Colts are basically an offensive line and Jonathan Taylor. That's it. Michael Pittman Jr.
And they don't even use him in there. They don't even use Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah. So it's like, Like, what, he had like 9 carries against the Chiefs or something like that? It's like, what are you doing? Like, well, just get another aging quarterback. Oh, good idea. You're not Dennis Green. This is not the late 90s Vikings. Like,
at this point, do you just not really try to win if you're the Colts because of the quarterback class that's coming in? Do you like,
yeah,
that's just,
are you going to blow more second round picks to try and get a 30 something quarterback?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Trade 2 for Kirk Cousins? And and the way Kirk has been playing, might be available next offseason. He's kombucha. Yeah. Like,
we
can talk about him a little bit later, but I mean, on one hand, you're like 2 game winning drives. Yeah. Okay. Say, and then you're like, oh, those stats though.
Don't say kombucha too loud. Michael Floyd might pop in your room there. who's the MVP in the NFL after the first 4 weeks?
So I struggled with this because my football watching as it happens has been very skewed in the first month because week 1, my mom threw a party and there was a lot of fireball and jello shots. Week 2, I was, let's see who the Vikings played with. So that was Philadelphia. I was moving in week 2 and I went up to go visit a friend and my godson and we had a good time then. And then week 3, I was at the Vikings game. So like when you do that, you don't really pay attention to anything else in the NFL. And then week 4, I watched Red Zone all day, watched the Vikings. And then, you know, I was in and out working on newspaper stuff. Actually, South Dakota State is playing South Dakota this weekend in football. And last year, the Coyotes won on a Hail Mary. So people are kind of ornery about that, but they're like, I flushed it down the drain. I didn't really have that. So just wanted to give that a shout out. But I guess my pick after excusing myself is Josh Allen because I don't know. The Bills have the best record in the AFC. Patrick Mahomes, pretty good. I mean, you could go with Patrick Mahomes as well.
After Sunday, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's 4 games. It's hard to tell right now. Nobody's really standing out. Like half – Tom Brady mentioned it. He's like half the league is like 2-2 right now. So, I mean, there's not really a guy that I'm like, that is the guy. And, yeah, so I guess I'll go Josh Allen because that was kind of my preseason pick.
All right, I'm going to go with the guy Josh Allen just beat, and that's Lamar Jackson. Because when I look at MVP, I really look at like, what does their team look like if you take this person off the team? And I think if you take Josh Allen off, they still have a pretty good defense. They got some receivers that maybe like a backup can win a few games with. Take Patrick Mahomes off. Yeah, never mind about that. but you take Lamar Jackson off and the Ravens have nothing. They like right now
they're
the
Colts.
Yeah, they have no defense. Their offense, I tweeted this earlier, the Ravens are averaging almost 30 points a game right now, 29.8, which is 3rd in the NFL, with their top running back averaging around 30 rushing yards per game, and their leading receiver has 12 catches this season. So it's basically been all Lamar Jackson all season long for the Ravens, as it has been for the most part, I would say, in his career with the Ravens. But I think he's also got that looming possible contract that he's, you know, dangling in front of him. And I think this year he's just playing even better. I think he's a better passer this year, but he's still averaging like 80 yards rushing every week. So I just think Lamar Jackson is playing great football this year. I don't think it's his fault that the Ravens lost. I think I saw somewhere that the Ravens haven't led the season for a total of like 14 seconds. So the losses are not really on him. That interception though, I think that on fourth down last week, that was not good. That was probably
they should have kicked the field goal anyway.
The worst thing
conversation.
That was the worst thing that probably could have happened. Let's see what else I got. Got a couple more related to the NFL. New head coaches. So, you know, the Vikings have a new head coach, Kevin O'Connell. There's a couple more around the league. Which new head coach, other than Kevin O'Connell, has impressed you the most?
I did not realize there was new in the document. But, so I'll just go with the one I wrote down, Nick Sirianni of the Eagles. Because
he's semi-new.
Yeah, this is his second year. Last year, we're kind of like, okay, the Eagles got in as kind of this fluky 7-seed team. But Sirianni, when he first joined the Eagles, he was like, yeah, we're going to have formations and plays and stuff and everything else. We're like, wow, this guy's an idiot. But on the football field, like some people are just good at their job, but they can't hold a conversation. Like I can be that way sometimes, which is weird because like I do podcasts and like interview people for a living. But like some people are just like, hey, I'm a genius on the football field, but like, don't talk to me. Mike McDaniels, like another one, like super genius offensive guy, not smart with concussions, but you know, yeah. I guess I shouldn't have gone there, but
that's not your fault.
No, it's not my fault at all. When you hire Dr. Nick as your independent consultant, you're going to have some problems.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Sirianni has definitely, you know, made some adjustments during the games. Mm-hmm. He's weathered the storm. The Eagles were down 14-0 to the Jaguars, and it was just like, okay, let's come back. I feel like that's happened a lot through the league. So, I mean, I would say Nick Sirianni is probably my coach of the year through the first four games.
Yeah, I mean, Eagles are unbeaten, so it's kind of hard to argue against him. I'll go with someone else who's in his division. I'll go with Brian Daboll of the Giants because the Giants are 3-1, and I have no idea how. They have Saquon Barkley. Their defense is pretty decent. But other than that, I don't know. Daniel Jones has three touchdown passes in four games. I think he's rushed for almost the same amount of touchdowns that he's he has two rushing touchdowns and three passing touchdowns. So I think I saw somewhere online that his nickname is Vanilla Vic. I thought that was interesting.
He doesn't have the arm that Michael Vick has.
No, he doesn't.
Like
do you know who the Giants' leading receiver is this year? Leading wide receiver.
Amani Toomer. I don't know.
Yeah. Richie James. You know, the name that everyone knows is Richie James. They could be making that up.
Has anyone seen Kenny Galladay at all? Anyone? They're not even like him, Kadarius Toney. They're not even playing him. They're suck. Sit on the sideline. Like
they have four catches combined, Kadarius Toney and Kenny Galladay this season. Four. And how much money are they paying Kenny Galladay? They're paying him a lot of money, right?
A lot of money.
So I'm gonna go with the Giants. I don't know if they can keep it up, but I don't know. They're 3-1. So I mean, you can't really argue against that. They have to play at the Packers in London. If they beat the Packers, then you're gonna be like, okay, all right.
Are the Packers good?
According to the power rankings, they're better than the Vikings, even though they have the same record and the Vikings destroyed them. But for some reason, the Packers are better than the Vikings to the national.
I think the Packers are going to turn it on here. I mean, like on Sunday, watching that game, I was just like, the Packers are going to win. They do this every year. They have one or two home games. Oh, so they play a bad team. It's always at 325. And like they fall behind. It was like, oh, this would be big if the Packers lost. Then they pull a rabbit out of their ass and come out with a win.
I
think they'll be good by the end of the year. So
yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. Week 17 against the Vikings in Lambeau, which I think is it already a night game or could it be flexed? I feel like it could be flexed possibly. It's at 4:25 on a Sunday, so yeah, I could see that getting flexed if it's a close divisional race. Yeah, so I went with Brian Daboll. And last thing we'll go with the NFL, just around the league, is right now. What's your Super Bowl pick? I want both teams and a winner.
Bills over Eagles. Okay. It's not bold or anything. Half the league is 2-2. I don't know. Like, you know, I mean, it's hard to project which teams, like a team like the Packers, we think they'll be good. We think they're going to snap out of it and they're going to rattle off a bunch of wins because that's what they've done under Matt LaFleur. What if Aaron Rodgers has too much drugs? You know, what if he ODs before a game?
And just like, plants.
Okay, Jordan Love, here we go.
Just plants. Okay.
It's more than a feelings playing in his head just right
plants.
Now.
Our only plants.
Cocaine's hey, what's the play, man? Plant,
did he curse out the center when he didn't get the ball off? Do you see that? That clip?
Yeah,
that
I
was
saw that too.
Caught on the hot mic, and Tony Romo was like, ho, ho, he said a bad word.
His eyes are just multicolored, just like, what did you do?
Did you see Aaron Rodgers' hair, by the way? There's so much, like, to take away from that one game. Aaron Rodgers, he was wearing his hat, and he has, like, the sides of his head are shaved, and he's got long on top. But then he wore his hat, and he, like, tucked his hair behind his ears, so then you could see, like, the back of his shaved head, but his hair was hanging out like this. It was, he's
got the haircut of like every WWE wrestler like 3 years ago.
CM Punk. He's got the CM Punk haircut.
Yeah. He's doing that now. Maybe he'll start a fight in the locker room too. We don't know.
I got the Chiefs because after Sunday, they look really good. And the Bucks defense is not, it's not like they're terrible. And the Chiefs did whatever they could. I got the Chiefs over the 49ers. The Niners have a really good defense, and for whatever reason, they win with Jimmy G. I don't know why, and I don't know why they didn't continue to keep him because they kept winning, but for some reason, they just win with Jimmy G. So I'm going to go with the Niners.
And you know what's going to hold them back though? Kyle Shanahan, because he feels like he's the smartest coach that's ever lived, and he'll galaxy brain himself out of some big time victory. So, and granted, he should have won a Super Bowl a couple years ago if Jimmy Garoppolo hits, who was it? Emmanuel Sanders on a deep route against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like if they hit that pass, the Niners are winning the Super Bowl. But I mean, I can't get behind the Niners. I cannot stand Kyle Shanahan. Maybe it's like drafting too many. Maybe it's the whole Trey Lance thing over the offseason where it's just like, I don't know. We could bring Jimmy back. Maybe.
But didn't
maybe
he want Mac Jones? Jimmy. Didn't Shanahan want Mac Jones and like the rest of the team wanted Lance?
Well, that was the rumor anyway. And he's like, no, I didn't want Mac Jones. Yeah. I didn't. Yeah. Kirk Cousins? Who wants Kirk Cousins? You know?
That's
I don't have anything sitting in his room looking like
an old poster. Yeah. He's got like Kirk Cousins. You think Kevin O'Connell's got the frame?
I wish you were my QB.
Yeah. His phone wallpaper is Kirk Cousins. Just
he's got like one of those shrines. Like you just see like who was it? Hey Arnold, right? You're a Nickelodeon guy, right?
Yeah.
Didn't Helga have like the shrine to Arnold in her closet or something?
Yeah. Well, then you got Ray Finkel to Dan Marino. One in Ace Ventura, so there's of course he's got them for sure.
Is Ace Ventura a good movie or no? I think we've had this conversation. Is it good or no?
Yes. Like I've watched it. There's movies that I've watched now that I watched when I was a kid and I thought they were funny, and I watch now and I'm like, this is terrible.
Yeah,
but that movie still holds up. There's still some funny parts.
I think the second one is better, but the
second one is very funny. Second one is good. So yes, it's fine. People are like, oh, it's stupid. No, it's supposed to be that way.
It's like debatable now, and that's weird to me because, like, you know, you just dumb your mind down for 2 hours, it's great.
Well, like Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, I always think like those movies are they're funny. Like they don't have to be perfect, they're just stupid funny. Sometimes you need those movies.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
all right, let's move on to some, you know, some Vikings talk, since, you know, this is a Vikings podcast. They're playing the Bears on Sunday. Noon game in US Bank Stadium. Like prime Kirk Cousins game. He is just
the planets of the Grimlap system ready to have go. Aligned.
Minus the opponent, because Kirk has struggled against the Bears in his career with the Vikings, especially at home. I think he's only 1-3 against the Bears at home, which is really weird. But just looking at the Bears, they're not that good. They are 2-2, but no one really thinks like they're going to do much of anything. They haven't really. I think Justin Fields has thrown like 5 times this year. But looking at Justin Fields, should we? There were some rumors in after the what? When was he drafted? 2021
right? NFL draft.
There were some rumors that the Vikings were interested in Justin Fields. There was an alleged phone call to the Panthers that wasn't really too serious. They're just like, "Hey, can we move up? Will you let us move up?" And the Panthers were like, "No." And the Vikings were like, "Okay." That was it. And that was allegedly to try and maybe get Justin Fields. But should we be happy looking at what he's done so far? Should we be happy that the Vikings didn't draft Justin Fields? Or is it too early to draw that conclusion?
So it's funny you bring that up, because I wrote this for Zone Coverage for Friday morning, where I talked about the Vikings getting outbid for Justin Fields, because there was that video Carolina Panthers took out and they basically lowballed the Panthers to try to trade up. The Bears swooped in. They gave up 2 first round picks. I think it was a 4th and a 5th to go get Justin Fields.
Too much.
Yeah. Well, in hindsight, yes. But, you know, it's really interesting, because you could go both ways on the argument. So you look at Justin Fields right now and you go, well, what's wrong? His offensive line sucks. He has no weapons. His offensive coordinator, I don't know what's really happening there. Like, there's a whole lot of things wrong in Chicago. If you have him in Minnesota, you look at the supporting cast as is. You got Justin Jefferson. You got Adam Thielen. You got Dalvin Cook. You have way better support players. You probably don't have an offensive line, because the Vikings got outbid. Rick Spielman said, all right, I'm going to trade down. I'm going to take Christian Darrisaw, who's your franchise left tackle now. And yeah, he swung and missed 4 times in the 3rd round. Okay, that happens. But I think I would no, it doesn't. But okay. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, like, it wasn't a good move overall, but right. I mean, the Vikings turned out okay, because they got Darrisaw. Yeah. And I mean, if Fields was here, I don't know. Like, you could make the argument, if Darrisaw's not there, Fields is feeling more pressure. And he did a good job handling it at Ohio State, but in the NFL, I mean, this season he's got a 27.4 passer rating when he's under pressure. That's 5th in the NFL. Then you also have, you know, the whole coaching situation last year. Like, was he going to learn anything? Probably not. Like, he probably would have been in the same closet that Kellen Mond was in all last year. Yeah. And then we're like, so is he good? Is he not good? We don't really know. So I don't know. I mean, there's a long way to go, but so far in the first 4 games, I mean, Justin Fields looks like a wishbone quarterback, which is amazing, because he was such a good deep ball passer at Ohio State. Helps when you have some better
every
weapons.
Great receiver.
Yeah, every great receiver in the NFL today at your disposal. Yeah. But he would have had 2 good ones here in Minnesota. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. Because, yeah, right now he's completing 50% of his passes. He's only attempted 67, which I think Kirk Cousins has done that in 2 games this year. Mm-hmm. He almost did that in one. I think he had 46 in 1 game. He's averaging under 120 yards passing per game. He's been sacked 16 times, has a QB rating of 58.7. Like, this is not good stuff. But he has looked okay running the ball. And I feel like I kind of view this as like a Trey Lance kind of situation that it was probably going to be in San Francisco if he didn't get hurt and his leg didn't fall off, like Lewis seen. I think it's too early still. I just don't understand the Bears' strategy of having this young quarterback and not doing anything to build around him. Like, maybe they are. Maybe they're starting from the offensive line because the offensive line is pretty good at run blocking. I will give them that. They're pretty good at run blocking. Pass blocking, not so much. But, you know, maybe it's because Dakota Dozier got hurt and, you know, that's why their offensive line isn't that good this year. Just kidding. He's terrible. But yeah, I think it's too early. He's not good this year. There's no way you can say he's a good quarterback. He's just not good. But yeah, I just don't think he has the right pieces around him. And that sucks because this is like probably the most important part of his career. These few years are where you learn how to be a quarterback. You look at someone like maybe Marcus Mariota, who probably had something similar where he wasn't given like, there's a lot of times where guys get in the league and coaches, like they want to like mold these players into something that they're never going to be. And like RG3, for example, the Shanahans wanted him to be a pocket passer. And that was incredibly stupid because he was a very good runner. He got hurt, but that was a great skill of his. So there's lots of examples of that. And I think it's too early. Like, we could talk about this again at the end of the year because the Bears played the Vikings in their final game. Surprise. But yeah, I think it's too early still. Maybe he can get some things going, but right now it's a little too early. So the Vikings and Bears kind of did something similar this past offseason where they fired their coach, their head coach, and their GM, and they both brought in brand new people. The Vikings went one way and decided to do a competitive rebuild and keep a lot of their roster intact from 2021. They added people, but they still kept a lot of players from last year. While the Bears, they just pretty much got rid of everybody. Traded, you know, Khalil Mack, got rid of a bunch of other players as well. Akeem Hicks is gone. Just a bunch of guys gone from the Bears that we've seen there over there for a long time. And it looks like the Bears are loading up for next offseason for free agency and the draft, while the Vikings are just trying to compete and kind of rebuild the roster at the same time. But, you know, and looking at the Vikings, despite their success, would you have rather seen them take on the Bears approach? Sorry, my mother-in-law is calling me right now.
I was wondering if it was me or you. But
All right, there we go. Despite the Vikings' success this season, 3-1, would you have rather seen them take the Bears approach this year and basically start from scratch?
I don't think we're going to know the answer to that until the end of the season. Because if this, I said it on Monday, this team is playing Mike Zimmer football without Mike Zimmer results. Like, they're playing close games. They're keeping teams in it. They're winning, you know, in fluky ways. Like, if they can tighten things up and get things to where we expect them to be, keeping everybody together was a good decision. If they keep doing this, if they finish the year 9-8, 8-9 or whatever, yeah, like blowing it up was the right decision. And I think that's what they'll do because a lot of these players, they can save more money by letting them go in 2023 than they would have last offseason. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's tough to like just burn everything to the ground and be like, hey, you know, in 3 years, things are going to be better. It's like the Minnesota Twins approach every time, you know, hey, we'll let Carlos Correa walk. Don't worry about it. We'll be so good in 3 years. And then, you know, your stud pitching prospect has a 10 ERA in AAA. Not that I'm bitter or anything that they missed the playoffs.
Did Byron Buxton get hurt again?
Oh yeah, of course he did. He was hurt all season. It only took 2 weeks, and then, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious to see how things turn out for the Bears because they're setting themselves up pretty good. 2023, they're projected. This is from Over the Cap. Projected to have over $115 million in cap space. The Vikings are projected to have $6.5 million in cap space. Mm-hmm. Next offseason. So that's quite the difference. Now, we know that like spending a whole lot in free agency doesn't mean a lot. Like you can, there's a reason these guys are free agents a lot of the time. And so if you spend all this money on just players and think that's the answer, it's most of the time it's not. Look at the Jaguars. They used to do that all the time. They did it again with Christian Kirk, who's turning out to be pretty good signing actually. But you have to spend your money smartly. So that's what I'm curious to see how they spend this money. Because if they just go out and spend $50 million on Jadeveon Clowney or something and some other free agent who's a big name but is not going to play well.
The Miami Dolphins did this.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. The Dolphins, the Eagles, like there's so many teams that just spent a lot of money.
The Giants, you can look at them too.
The Redskins, not the Washington football team. Used to do this a lot. The Commanders, I'm sorry. Used to do this a lot. They used to get like Albert Haynesworth and Deion Sanders and like all these guys that were like past their prime or just looking for money, and then they didn't do well. So the Bears have a lot of money. But I would still, I don't know. I like the Vikings approach. I like that they felt confident enough to keep some of their roster intact and feel like they can still work with it moving forward. And still build a roster that could help them in the future. And right now they're 3-1. And I don't really think they care about draft position. I think they're a team. Kwesi obviously doesn't. He traded back to the 32nd pick. So I don't think like him being like, oh, we're not going to have a top 10 pick this year. Now we're going to be terrible. I don't think he cares about that. I think he's going to do whatever he can with the stuff that he's given. So I like the Vikings approach. I would still stick with what they went. I was a little skeptical before all this happened, but it's going well so far, so it's not hard to convince me.
I think you see enough good signs as far as Kevin O'Connell goes too. Like, yes, you kind of, yes. I mean, you posted it earlier this week, like Kevin O'Connell going over to Kirk after the interception being like, hey man, don't worry about it. Or like, you know, Greg Joseph, I was going to call him Vic Joseph because I got wrestling on the brain. Greg Joseph going to be like, hey, you've made 5 kicks already. Don't worry about it. You're going to get another one. Like, you know, stuff like that.
That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen.
Like, Mike Zimmer posted mistakes all over the facility. Just like, it was just like Bowser's castle or something like that. Or it's just
Greg,
like,
they would have had Greg Joseph wouldn't have made that kick. He would have made 4 field goals. He would have missed the extra point. Probably would have missed the final field goal. They would have had kickers come in and try out this week if Mike Zimmer was still coach.
Yeah.
They would have. That's the difference. I had some other questions about the Bears, but I'm just going to skip that one. I am going to ask you, can you name at least 4 of the 9 former Vikings that are currently part of the Bears this year, includes the active roster, practice squad, and injured reserve?
Okay, I can name 3 of them because I think we've talked a little bit about it. But you got you got Dakota Dozier, yep. You got Armand Watts, you got Amir Smith-Marset.
Mm-hmm. Need one more. That's a lot.
What's the position?
I'll give you an offensive tackle.
It's not Storm Norton.
Nope. Started a lot of games for the Vikings.
Mike Remmers.
Riley Reiff, he is on the Bears.
Riley Reiff, wow. He was in Cincinnati, but... Yep.
He got cut. Yeah. He's on the Bears. He's on the active roster. I don't know if he's the starter. So we got Kari Blazingame, who had a little preseason stint with the Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
Pull back.
Okay.
Riley Reiff. Trevor Siemian, he's on the active roster. Amir Smith-Marset, Armand Watts. All 5 of those guys are on the active roster. Then you go to the practice squad. They just signed Jalen Holmes. They already had Harrison Hand on there. Then you get the injured reserve, and you got Dakota Dozier, I think towards ACL, and Tajay Sharp.
You know, it's one of those things where it's just like, what do you know? What do you know? Like, just putting rings on it. Well, they don't have rings in Chicago. They have 1, but, you know, what do you know?
If they can't figure out anything about the Vikings from 9 players, then they probably don't deserve to win this game anyways. Not that they're going to. I think they're... let me check real quick. I didn't even check this before we did the podcast. Usually I check the line, see if it moved at all.
7.5.
Oh, it's 7. It was 7.
That's what BetOnline had this afternoon.
FanDuel has 7.5. Okay. Yeah, so the Vikings are favored by 7.5.
Would you take that?
No.
No. Oh, okay.
No. Divisional game? Vikings and Bears have kind of been pretty close, like, whenever they play. Like, there hasn't... When's the last time there was a blowout?
Who scares you on the Bears, though? I was more scared of the Bears podcast. They asked me that and I laughed.
I'm more scared of the Vikings. They do have Khalil Herbert is a this good is running true. Back.
Yeah.
He's a good running He's a good running back. He's averaging 6.1 yards per carry this season. And he's eighth in the NFL in rushing. He's only started one game. So and the Vikings are not good at stopping the run. But before we get too much into this, I'm just going to ask you, the Vikings will win on Sunday if they do what?
They stop the run. Because you mentioned it, Khalil Herbert. I mean, that's all the Bears are going to do. They're gone. They suck everywhere else. Like I said, their offensive line sucks. Their passing game sucks. Their defense sucks. Actually, they're pretty good against stopping the pass, but they're awful at stopping the run. I think this is a smash spot for the Vikings. I'll tell you that right now. I think Dalvin Cook is going to get going because the Bears are allowing 5.1 yards per game. They're allowing like 160 rushing yards per game. The offensive line for the Vikings has been doing their job in the running game. And Dalvin Cook, I don't know if he's just like lollygagging. I don't know if he's a step slow. I don't know what's going on. This should be a smash spot for Dalvin Cook. And it's going to propel the Vikings to just obliterate the Chicago Bears on Sunday. I don't care if it's a divisional game. I don't care if like, oh my God, Akeem Hicks isn't there anymore. He's not taking Garrett Bradbury's lunch money.
That's true.
Like, is Armon Watts going to do it? I don't even know if Watts is playing right now.
He started last week.
Yeah, congratulations to him, I guess. Like, this so team sucks.
So you're looking at the Bears, maybe like when the Lions used to come, like during the Matt Patricia era, and they would come to US Bank Stadium and just like, the Vikings would have like 10
Their
sacks.
Head coach sounds like a Saturday Night Live character.
Eberflus.
I am Eberflus. My friend Sprockets over here.
Yeah, I don't know what the Bears saw. And like, he's an older guy, He's a defensive guy.
I'll tell you this. I know a Colts writer from my previous days. I think you might know
Jake Arthur.
Too, yeah, Jake Arthur. Yeah, we'll drop his name. Whatever. He's Mint.
Pro Football Spot.
Yes, I DM'd him as soon as the Bears hired Eberflus. I'm like, what do you think? He's like, you have nothing to worry about. So I'm like, okay. He's like, I probably would have hired him.
Yeah, maybe we should try and get him on and then Vikings play the Colts later this year.
Yeah. Jake's a good dude.
Pro Football Spot reunion. A lot of people come out of that. Kimmy came out of that site. Let's see. I think the Vikings will win if they force, I guess it kind of goes hand in hand with you. If they stop the run, they force Justin Fields to beat them with his arm. Because like I said before, he's completing 50% of his passes. He's only thrown 67 times this year. He's averaging under 120 passing yards per game. They clearly do not want him throwing the ball. So if the Vikings can force him to throw, like the Vikings are going to give him a chance to throw. They haven't been playing tight coverage on anyone this year. Like the lanes are open in the middle of the field when the Vikings are playing defense. So they're going to be there for Justin Fields, but are the Bears going to take him and are they going to want to take him? I don't think so. So if they can force Justin Fields to pass the ball more than he runs, I think it's an easy win. Now, the Vikings will lose to the Bears if what? Just the flip side of what you just said, pretty much.
They read their own press clippings.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, look at the Gophers. Everybody's putting them in the national championship picture, and they go out and they lay an egg against Purdue. I think the Vikings have to take this seriously. And I think, you know, if they go into this, take it seriously and be like, this is a get right for a game for us. Like, they're I'll give you a very specific example. The red zone last week. They went in the red zone 5 times. They only came away with 2 touchdowns.
Week before too.
Yeah, against Detroit as well. Yeah. Like, they can't settle for field goals. Like, they have to come out with the attitude like, we're going to just obliterate these guys in the first half and then
look in the end zone, Kirk. Maybe do that.
Yeah.
Not at Adam Thielen.
And I think there were I was watching Alex Boone yesterday, and he was going over the play, and he said Adam Thielen wasn't looking for the ball soon enough. Plus, Kirk was pressured on the play, so he was just trying to get rid of it. So it makes a lot of sense. And if Johnny Munt catches that, it's first and goal. So I don't know. I'm not a Kirk defender. I'm just saying, like, it was a very good point. Like, I totally understood it once
Cousins has made some good throws this year. He's also made
some big boy throws.
Yeah, he's made some great throws this year. but he's also not made some great throws this year. He's also left a lot of plays on the field.
And for sure.
It's the first month. There's been Cousins, like, you look back, he's a lot of Septembers, he struggled. Like, there's been, look, 2020, he was not good in 2020.
Maybe he should play with Christian Darrisaw's chain.
Yeah.
He said it was empowering and just go on the field.
That was funny. I'm like, listening to Kirk, he's all happy. And I'm like, am I starting to like this guy? Like,
he doesn't look nervous. Like, that's the thing. Like, you know, I think, like, in the past couple of years, like, you get up to the podium and, like, okay, is Zimmer watching through some glass or something right now? Like, I think they're having a lot of fun right now. And that's like a little league thing, but
it is, it matters.
Yeah.
Like, it clearly mattered for the Vikings this year. I'm just going to go with, they got to stop the run. That's it. Like, that's really it. Stop the run. Like you said, get touchdowns, not field goals. Like, it just, I could see a game where Khalil Herbert, like, they just can't stop him. He's just running all over the Vikings and they just have no solution. But at the same time, the Vikings, I feel like they have the firepower on their offensive side of the ball to kind of go back and forth if it turns into that game, which would be very weird if it was a shootout with the Bears. I don't think that's going to happen. But like I said, I still think it's going to be relatively close. Even though my score prediction isn't that close. Spoiler alert. But what's just a, I know you're doing bold predictions for the Viking Age or whatever, but what, you don't have to spill any of them right now, but, you know, maybe give a different one. But what's one of your boldest predictions for Sunday?
I think I already gave the cook going for a hundo.
I have a similar one too.
Yeah, I think I said too, the Vikings are going to pressure Justin Fields on 50% of his passes. Okay. Like, there's not a lot of opportunities. The Vikings edge rushing has not been good, but the Bears are allowing 49% of Justin Fields' dropbacks to be pressured. So that's probably why he sucks. Like, you know, but both things can be true. He could be playing bad and the Bears situation is awful. So
Vikings fans, keep it loud in there. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't get quiet just because it's the Bears. Okay. Keep it loud so the Vikings get out to like a 20-0 lead and then there's no worries till the Bears come back in the fourth quarter. My bold prediction is Dalvin Cook as well, but I believe he will score 3 touchdowns.
3?
Yeah, I think.
I just traded Dalvin Cook in my fantasy league, so I'm going to be – I may not be available for Monday's podcast if he scores 3 touchdowns.
We've been talking how he's been very close to breaking touchdowns, like – and I think he's only had like 4 touches around the goal line this whole season, or in the red zone, I believe, this whole season. So I feel like the Vikings are going to try and maybe involve him just because of the Bears' lack of a run defense. It seems like an easy way to get points on the board. Just give Dalvin Cook the ball. So 3 touchdowns for Dalvin Cook. My final score prediction, I'll give mine, then you can give yours, and then we'll get out of here. I did say that I don't like the 7.5 line. I did say the Vikings wouldn't cover it, but in my score prediction, they do. So Vikings 24, Bears 13.
Oh, I went further than that.
Oh boy.
Vikings 31, Bears 10.
Ooh. All right.
Okay. I think the Vikings offense gets going this week.
All right. Hopefully we're right. I do not. I don't want any more close games. Like, can we have a break? Like, it's a new coach and we're still getting like heart palpitations in the final seconds of the fourth quarter this year still.
Except at least this coach loves it, though. Like, Mike Zimmer's like, I don't like this.
Yeah, because
like,
he's not going to die. Like, Mike Zimmer could have died.
Kevin O'Connell's just like, this is like skydiving.
Yeah. Mike Zimmer is like, I got to go to the doctor. Like, another eye is going to fall out. All right. That's going to do it for us today. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe and like this video. Follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook, and the audio version of this podcast will be available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you get your podcasts. If you're watching this live, sorry for keeping you. You can go watch that great game between the Broncos and Colts. But until next time on Monday, we'll be at a different time, possibly, because the Chiefs are playing on Monday night. So they want people to use this channel, but it's okay.
Booted.
We'll be there. We'll be there on Monday, regardless. But until next time, Chris and I talk to you.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.